You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 16th. We are very happy to have with us this hour Barbara Lawton, the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin. She is also the chair of the Wisconsin Arts Board and co-chair of the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education. This task force is traveling the state getting input on arts and creativity in public education in Wisconsin, looking for ways to provide even better instruction in the arts to ensure that the talent we'll need to compete in the 21st century is available. We welcome your thoughts and questions for her on arts education in our public schools at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. And Lieutenant Governor Lawton joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Jay.
Thanks very much for being here. Now, you and the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elizabeth Burmaster, announced this effort some time ago, and you have been holding these forums, getting this input. Why? Why are you doing this? What's important about arts and education?
Well, Superintendent Burmaster and I came down two paths that converged, basically. From the Office of the Lieutenant Governor, everything I do basically is focused on looking at how we can further develop a strong economy in Wisconsin. And, of course, part of that is making sure that we have the workforce that employers need and what contributes to positioning Wisconsin well in a 21st century global economy. As the chair of the Wisconsin Arts Board, we have been working very hard as we've realigned all of our programming to meet the needs of our partners in the communities across the state, where we have become really a driving force in the economy, where we know that the arts and cultural industry is not only a big employer that generates a tremendous amount of revenue in our state, 400 some thousand or million dollars a year, but is also an animating force in communities that helps draw, attract, retain the kind of people that we need to drive businesses that will thrive in a 21st century workforce. And because of the work the Arts Board was doing, I was invited to be part of a policy roundtable at Sundance last year with Robert Redford and Americans for the Arts. And we address the thought, thinking creatively, working globally, the role of the arts in building a 21st century workforce. And what we've recognized is that under No Child Left Behind, with a great deal of pressure on schools, punitive pressure to for testing results in simply two areas, in reading and math, we've seen curriculum shrink in schools across the nation. And the arts, being thought of as enrichment only, have been pushed to the edge or off of the table in many places. Mm-hmm. We assert that they are actually core curriculum, that every child has creative capacities, that in this very competitive global economy, what we need are innovators and entrepreneurs, and that the arts are uniquely helpful in developing everyone's creative capacity. So we want to put this back in the middle of our schools.
So the workforce of the 21st century needs creative people and not so much scientists and mathematicians and engineers?
No, they need scientists and mathematicians and engineers, but they need them to be creative thinkers and problem solvers. MIT for 40 years has required its engineers to take courses in the arts and humanities precisely because it makes them more effective at what they do.
Yeah. I brought in a prop today. The listeners won't be able to see this, but this was an art project when I was in seventh grade at Madison Junior High in Appleton, Wisconsin. And I just caught, I was leaving the, I have this up in my house because it's a wood carving. And I asked you just before we went on the air if you could guess what it was, and you couldn't. It's a squirrel.
Well, one of the reasons I couldn't, which was interesting, Joy, because after you told me, it's a very modern design and it's beautifully done. But we all bring our own experience to art as we perceive it. And I, who have lived in Chile, looked at it and thought about Easter Island and the statues there. So I was...
It does look like some sort of god icon or something. I'm not sure.
Right.
But the reason I brought it in, I loved art in school, and but I never thought of it as necessarily preparing me for the workforce.
Well, one of the things, then, a very moving statement that Robert Redford made when we were gathering in Sundance was that until he got into an art classroom, he was in the margins of the school system and thought to have no talent. And it's not just his acting talent. He's a highly successful business person. Mm-hmm. But all of us are going to need to be intellectually agile, able to work across disciplines. This is what employers are asking for. And they don't care as much anymore about your technical training. What they do care about is your creative problem solving and your ability to work creatively across disciplines.
Yeah. I thought Wisconsin did have some sort of requirement to have arts and music education in the schools.
We do have some, and there's a lot of local discretion, et cetera. And what Superintendent Burmaster is looking at coming from down her path as superintendent is reassessing what our what we have in the curriculum, what we require, and what we can do, and how we can, even without mandating, how we can help school districts and communities, because not everything can be accomplished in the classroom, how we can help them look at and imagine innovative partnerships and bring new models to the conversation. You know, when you talked about science, technology, engineering, and math, the STEM, as they call it, things, we talk about inserting the arts in the middle and turning STEM into STEAM.
Because
we see that creativity is the renewable resource that's going to be the sustainable energy of our economy, and we have to be able to develop it.
So your task force is holding forums and has held a couple already, and there are still more to come. There was going to be one in Green Bay this week, and that's one of the reasons we had you scheduled for today. However, that Green Bay forum needs to be postponed because you're being invited to speak nationally on this issue.
I am, and this is exciting that all of the people who are participating, both as members of the task force and those who have brought their expertise to our public forums and will this morning on air, are part of creating a model that I've been asked to present to a think tank at the Aspen Institute this week. And what they're really doing is creating a set of recommendations and policy recommendations that will be delivered by a bipartisan group to the next president of the United States to help whoever assumes that position to understand how essential this is to the American economy and to the vitality of our democracy.
I have here that the Green Bay Forum will be rescheduled at a date sometime later this summer to be announced. August 28th, forums in Platteville and La Crosse, and on September 4th in Middleton.
Yes.
So that's what's coming up with these forums. What are you hearing from people so far? I mean, just general themes that...
Well, it has been very interesting. We're hearing from employers. We're hearing from educators. I think that the first person who gave us testimony was from an energy business. And he said, I need people who have the confidence to think and speak and write clearly and the courage to fail. And interestingly, he felt very strongly that that courage to fail and the ability to think is cultivated in the arts and in the arts instruction. He said that Wisconsin knows that we have to make this shift, and he needs workers who are both proud and confident, who have the language abilities to describe what they're doing and where they're going. And that came back to us in many ways. The confidence and the fearlessness of entrepreneurs is what we're trying to develop.
You have four questions that you were putting forth to the public or anybody attending these forums, and it's something I think we can put forth during this hour on the radio.
Great.
And looking for, where do you most clearly see the value of creativity today? How can development of children's creative capacities be integrated along disciplines, across disciplines in the curriculum? What kinds of partnerships initiated by the private and nonprofit sector interests will help meet a community's need for expanded arts and creativity in education? And finally, can you describe a successful classroom or workplace program that teaches art and or develops creative capabilities? 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Barbara Lawton, the Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Chair of the Wisconsin Arts Board, and the co-chair of this new task force, the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up this afternoon, it's At Issue with Ben Marins between 4 and 6. After 4, talk about the presidential campaigns. And after 5, Brett Favre, should he stay or should he go? Ben will talk about the Brett Favre saga coming up after 5 this afternoon. We're talking about the arts in Wisconsin, and Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton's new task force on arts and creativity in education, looking for input on how we might institute even better instruction in the arts in our schools and in our communities. And our first caller is Ann in Viroqua. Hi, Ann, you're on the air.
Hi.
Yes, go ahead.
Well, I'd like to hear what Mrs. Lawton is saying, I mean, the whole STEM to STEAM thing, but I'm just not seeing it enacted at all in our schools. My sister is a public school art teacher in Viroqua, and they've eliminated, she was middle school, and then they had a high school art teacher, and now they've eliminated the high school art teacher, and then they eliminated the one-quarter high school art teacher, and now she's teaching high school and middle school, and they're still claiming that the children are offered the same amount of art, which is, you know, physically impossible. And I know for a fact that our school system has also eliminated certain language courses such as semantics. And from what I understand, it all has to do with the funding. And I mean, it totally makes sense to me to have the, if we're moving from a technological society to more of an ideas creative society, as the technology is being taken over by, say, India or China, but it just doesn't seem to be trickling down into the Wisconsin public school system because of the funding formulas.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that, Lieutenant Governor Lawton, that arts are being cut back in many of the schools.
And that's precisely the point of the task force, mm-hmm. is to put this back into focus for the public. As we consider, and we have to be considering as we see a lot of school districts struggling, sort of teetering on the edge of bankruptcy as well, the question of adequacy of funding in our schools in Wisconsin is certainly an urgent question that we need to be addressing. And then because that precarious position is has to do also with federal monies coming to this state and the No Child Left Behind, we need, and that is being reconsidered at the federal level, we need to be part of that conversation and say we can't squeeze the curriculum this hard. The Financial Times just ran an article last week titled America's Human Capital is Being Tested. And this is all about the human capital that we develop here, which, as I said, is our competitive edge. And at this time where the amount of knowledge available to us grows exponentially, literally every week, we are awash in knowledge and there's a limit to what we can know. The creativity is the way that we manage the unknown. And so it is essential for everyone, whether they're going to be working on the line in a factory, because working on the line is now high tech, or whether they're going to be the CEO of a business or lead a nonprofit or be a lieutenant governor.
Yeah. So your task force presumably will have, it puts more attention on this issue, will have some sort of recommendations at the end of the forums.
And we have not just, it's a The task force represents people coming from education and leaders in education, but it also represents CEOs of businesses. We have the head of Wisconsin's Information Technology Association as part of this task force, because this is critical to all of us in this state. This is not a nice conversation about how to enrich the children's day. This is about how we make sure that every child in Wisconsin and adults in our communities as well are performing at the highest level of productivity and are able to continue to keep Wisconsin on a in a competitive position. Yeah. I find it interesting, Joy, that it really harkens back or points to our state's historic identity that we have seen lifted into view by the Wisconsin Department of Tourism as they are looking at rebranding us, that historically we have an identity as fostering a culture of original thinkers across economic sectors. So we want to continue that tradition.
Well, are we looking at possibly a recommendation at the end of this from DPI saying at local schools thou shalt not cut your arts classes?
We'll certainly see this inform the budget submission of the superintendent of schools, and you will see it brought into view in many different public policy areas, both in education and in other areas.
Anne, thank you very much for calling. Let me take Kurt in Springbrook next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I have a few comments I'd like to make. The first one is the fragmentation of the school day seems to be go against creativity. I mean, for example, when I was in school, my school day was split up into 8 45-minute periods. And, you know, it seems if you become passionate, say, about writing or painting, the worst thing that can happen to you while you're following your passion is for the bell to ring, for you to move on to another class. And secondly, it seems like having time just to wander, like, say, wander in the woods, the play would be conducive to creativity. And that's about it.
Yeah, so you want to work on your art project all day, Kurt.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a passion, I think you should be able to follow it through.
Yeah,
that's interesting, Kurt. My children attended a public school in Green Bay that had a very, very flexible scheduling, and precisely to allow them to develop at the speed in the area that they were ready to develop in. One thing that Bill Gates has brought into view is that he believes very strongly, and he is certainly not alone in this nation, that our high schools, which were developed in fact, our school system, which was developed in an entirely different area, that the bones of that school system were developed in an agrarian time, we need to be ready to reboot and evolve into this 21st century and have the schools meet the needs of the children.
Yeah. My niece, who goes to Madison West, she's a freshman, she just did a project this year that was a part of, I think it was a part of a literature class, I'm pretty sure. But they had the students go out and videotape their own play, which would be a book review of whatever the book was that they, you know. So
yes.
it was an interesting way to. They did George Orwell's 1984.
Oh my!
And so they read that book, they developed their own screenplay, and it had all sorts of stuffed animals there to represent Animal Farm, and it was quite a project. And I think it really she learned a whole lot about that particular book, but also was very creative in putting together the
Of it. One of the people who gave testimony at one of our open forums talked about a project that she has done with first-time juvenile offenders, using media technology and having them engage in filmmaking and what a positive impact it has and how it has given them skills that are useful, that that put them in a position to be attractive to an employer. But they have become thoughtful people looking in a different productive direction. So it's, yes, I think that Kurt brings out a very important point is that the rhythms that have been established long ago are not necessarily the ones that are most conducive to learning.
But you're also looking for that type of thing where how you can have arts as a part of maybe more of the curriculum and
yes, or there was a project up in, I can't remember if it was the Shawano area, somewhere in that area, or Gillett, where the children were working on financial literacy, but it was an art project that actually brought it home and how to, mm-hmm. how to distill and communicate the message of what they had learned in a poster. So, but there are many other examples, mm-hmm. and what we're doing is collecting them, and people can submit them online. There's a, through the Arts Board, they will find a way to submit and become part of this in an ongoing way, because we want to lift the best models into view so that they can be shared across the state.
Good. We'll try to get that that website maybe linked to our website.
Great.
So, and we go next to, who's next? Matt in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm an art and a music teacher, and I just wanted to call in and share that in my observation, it's very important that the math teachers teach a thought process of math and the science mm-hmm. teach that specific thought process of science, and that in the arts, what we're teaching is so often is a real-life skill of teaching the kids that there's not necessarily a black-and-white answer to everything, but that each little decision you make comes out with a different product or a different result, and to analyze what are the problems and what result do you want, and then finding, like you said, a creative way of getting there, and that it's not black-and-white.
You know, that's it, Matt, that's true, but at Albert Einstein, a famous mathematician and scientist, also said that imagination and creativity are more important than knowledge itself, and this is important in all disciplines. So however we develop that capacity, it is applicable, theoretical science, it's applicable across disciplines.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead, Matt.
Oh yeah, and I agree with you completely that in when you get to the upper levels of everything that creativity is what you can bring to all processes. But I really do see that only taking place in the art and in the music because that's what you do all day every day. Whereas if you were teaching math and you had them drawing pictures about equations,
yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just start there. So it's important that it's at the core. That they're learning this specific process of creatively analyzing creative solutions, not for a black and white answer, but so that you you're finding out that how does it affect the result? Because there's a million different possibilities in life.
Exactly, and that I think that you've articulated so clearly what I had hoped to communicate is that. Instruction in the arts, which includes music, is and must be core curriculum yeah. for our children if we are going to develop those capacities that then help them move across disciplines and merge thinking in disciplines in very productive ways.
Thank you very much, Matt, for the call. Now Eugene in Viola is with us. Good morning, Eugene.
Good morning. Good morning, Joy. Good morning, Lieutenant Governor Lawton.
Good morning.
First of all, I would not send a students to the art to an art room. I would bring the teacher to the classroom, and whatever projects they're working on, when they got some spare time, I would let them go ahead and work on it. Now, I'm talking about a self-contained classroom, and what I've seen in the past, and when I was teaching, yeah, it works. And there's a lot of little projects, a lot of things that you can do as a creator. And one of my favorites was the Little Whistles.
A what whistle?
Willow whistles.
Okay. Oh, yes.
I'll tell you, you got those kids making those willow whistles, and they were going off all the time. There's just a lot of little projects like that that you can do. And when they get some spare time, either that or beading frames. Mm-hmm. Like I'd get some beading frames, some beads, and I'd let them go to town. And sometimes they'd mess it up, and I'd say, well, if you made a mistake, go ahead and try a different direction. And by keeping those little art projects... That even if they're not teaching art, they've eliminated the art teacher. But keeping a little project like that going in a classroom and working in with your different subjects, that just plain flat out works.
Yeah, Eugene did that when he was teaching in one-room country schools.
Yeah. Well, and Eugene, there's a charter school, both elementary and middle school, and I think they're developing a high school, or else they have both the elementary and the high school, and they're mm-hmm. developing the middle school in Sheboygan, where creativity and the arts are at the core, and they're designing all of the classrooms and the way that they work and operate around developing the children's creative capacities. We held our first open forum there, and it was fascinating what the children had been able to do and how history comes alive and lodges mm-hmm. itself forever in a child's brain when they're so engaged in it in that way. And so, yes, it must come into the classroom, but I appreciate that input.
Yeah, Eugene, I have to move on to other callers, but when next time you're at Wisconsin Public Radio, will you show me how to make a willow whistle?
I'll try.
All right, thanks very much for calling. Eugene steps by every once in a while. Jim in Madison is next. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've been in biotech for, I don't know, 25 years now, and what I've kind of noticed is a lot of even American students, but mostly Russian and Chinese scientists tend to look at the way we think more structured. And when some ideas come from outside of the norm, they really kind of just squash those ideas in a lot of ways. Not always, but you see it a lot. And I was curious if you thought when we were kids, and, you know, I'm a little older, so when I was a kid, we didn't have all this structured activity where, you know, the parents got together with everything you did and kind of told you what the rules were. Is that part of this plan as well? Because that kind of concerns me now with kids, that they are so structured in the way they just don't run and make up their own rules anymore. Everything's kind of done for them.
Mm-hmm. Jim, you bring back, was it Ann or Kurt's, I guess, comment. We can't, obviously, I guess, prescribe for parents what we think, but I agree with you that I think that reflective time is creative time for children. But what we can do, I think Thomas Friedman wrote recently in an article that in India and in China, they're rethinking the way that they have channeled their children and their future engineers into such narrow curriculums and study courses. And traditionally in the United States, we have had a broader curriculum. And so all of the children coming through public schools have had some art instruction and some introduction to music, etc. And what we're worried about now is that with No Child Left Behind, and we see that shrinking, that we will be as vulnerable as they are to rote kinds of approaches to the world, and that the value, like our MIT engineers who have had the arts integrated into their curriculum for 40 years, that is the value of what we do in the United States, is to be broader thinkers and to understanding the creativity comes from working those ideas.
Well, I just look back at when I was in art class, and painting was always a favorite pastime of mine, and I think it helped me a lot in my creativity. So good luck with your program.
Well, thank you, and I thank you especially for taking time to call in and reminding us that in the biotech field, that mm-hmm. creative capacity is essential.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Jim. Karen in Middleton is with us now. Hi, Karen.
Good morning. My comments keep changing when I hear additional callers call in, but I wanted to make several comments. I'll try to be brief. Initially, I wanted to address, in the light of No Child Left Behind, that really our mode for getting arts into the classroom is really truly, as Eugene said, through the teacher in the classroom. Recently, I have worked with a young teacher who worked with the quilting project and began integrating math concepts into the classroom using the umbrella of an arts curriculum, not just as a methodology for teaching math, but also to simultaneously teach arts concepts so that both the arts curriculum and the content or cognitive classroom discipline was also addressed at the same time. And it was extremely effective. You know, the parameters are not limited to just the math concepts, but really reach the affective, the social, the physical, the actual construction of the quilting project. You know, all of the domains are met in an integrative arts curriculum.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not limited. I work to teach students to use dance and science, dance and social studies, dance and visual art. And so I'm sort of tapping on to the next thing, which is, you know, we refer a lot to music and art as the only represented arts in the public schools. Dance is not traditionally, especially in Wisconsin, you know, integrated into the curriculum. And so I think we need to really broaden our view of the arts to be more inclusive of forms as well.
I took square dancing in gym class in elementary school, but that's not what you're talking about.
But it is. It moves because it's dance and movement, isn't it, Karen?
Right. It's not just, and I don't want to, you know, stomp on the square dance, but we're really talking about the types of dance that really address problem solving, and they're open-ended and more explorational and really following a pedagogy that's going to be really useful for the development of a child, you know, so that we're really hitting this also as a motivational tool. And for the classroom, I have, you know, had personal experience through my artist in residencies and also through classroom work where the unmotivated child excels. The student who's having, you know, other kinds of issues with the behavior or learning really becomes a leader in this kind of a varied strategy for teaching, so that we really strengthen content and curriculum and through these varied and integrated approaches.
Karen, have you heard Sir Kenneth Robinson, who is an international leader on developing and thinking about creativity as an essential economic development tool, really? But he tells the story about a young woman whose mother brought her to the doctor because she was just having no end of problems in school, and they couldn't figure out. She couldn't sit still. She wasn't doing her work and blah, blah, blah. And the doctor listened for a while and then said to the mother, "I'd like to talk to you outside the room." And as he left the room, he turned on the radio, and then they stood and looked back in through a one-way mirror. And as soon as they had left and the music was playing, the daughter got up and danced. And the doctor turned to the mother and said, "Your daughter doesn't have a problem. She's a dancer." And she became the choreographer. I think it was for Cats. It was for one of the most successful things. But one of the things we know is, and I appreciate this, I hope that you will submit this to us, that you can take time to write about how you did this. And our task force website, the one just for the task force, is under construction, but we can receive this through the Arts Board. And it will then be shared on the task force website because it's so important. I know that a dance professor in Milwaukee at UWM taught me how important it is that children, for children's brain development, the actual movement, as well as then when they become confident, and we go back to that, employer said, "I need more confident risk takers," in the area of dance, to use that physical movement in as they develop ways of problem solving. I think I'm very anxious to learn more specifically about what you've done, so I hope you will submit it.
I will absolutely do that. You know, and those are the types of, you know, such examples that you really need to, you know, quantify, because artists and those of us teaching in the field know that this happens. But, you know, trying to, you know, state your case for the next president of the United States, is that's the difficult part.
Yes.
I had an engineering student at UW who took a dance class who ended up coming back to me and saying that he received all these accolades, that his presentation was such a success because he was finally able to project himself and to speak clearly and to stand up before people.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it's just so exciting to have that kind of feedback from somebody who is very introverted and not able to succeed in their field.
Well, and all of this comes back to really capitalizing on what, looking at what's our edge, and our competitive edge in this economy is our workforce, and how do we develop it to be, and really, and it's more than science and math classes. Charles Landry tells us that creativity is one of the last remaining legal ways to gain an unfair advantage over the competition.
And I still like the thought of dance and science classes and math and quilting classes. That's kind of that's great. Thank you so much, Karen, for the call. And one of the forums will be in Middleton on September the 4th. I just have Middleton here, but I'm sure the website will probably have specific locations. So check that out. And we will take your call, too, for Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin, Chair of the Wisconsin Arts Board, and Co-Chair of the Wisconsin Task Force on Arts and Creativity in Education. Lieutenant Governor Lawton and the State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Elizabeth Burmaster, are going around the state getting your input on arts education, talking about how to improve arts education in the schools and in our communities, and how to use art education as a way to prepare the workforce of the 21st century. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.
I'm just beginning. The pen's in my hand. Ending unplanned. Staring at the blank page before you. Open up the dirty window. Let the sun illuminate.
We are talking about the arts and creativity and a new task force that is seeking your input on arts and creativity in education. Lieutenant Governor Barbara Lawton, the co-chair of this task force, 1-800-642-1234 is our number in Madison, 263-1890. Some of the things that Lieutenant Governor Lawton looking for, whether you can describe a successful classroom or workplace program that teaches art and or develops creative capacities, and where do you most clearly see the value of creativity today? And Miss Chris is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello. I hope I don't sound vain or egotistical in saying this, but I have been in the art teaching business for over 50 years and frequently asked to teach English with the art in a middle school and was concerned, but found years later that I did what needed to be done to correlate. I have asked students that I've had at the old campus school who've all become successful, and our day was shorter, and we followed the child rather than the child following the exact curriculum. I asked them, what is it? How can you remember a teacher after 50 years? What was it? I'm not asking for myself, but this is important that we know. What is it that touched you? And time and again, it was, you made us feel that we were worth something and our ideas were important and we could do it.
Yeah.
And this is what I think is so important.
Yeah, let me get Lieutenant Governor Lawton to talk about that. What the importance of the teacher herself. Or himself.
Well, the teacher and the pedagogy is essential, and we've heard that from other teachers who have called in. And Chris's work over a lifetime has obviously had a tremendous impact on many people. It's one of the things as we look at that and remember that we had employers who came to us and said, we need bold thinkers and risk takers, and we have often business has thought that the notion of creativity was sort of soft and fuzzy, and they've had trouble with that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And our message is that creativity is a precursor to innovation. It is an essential base for any possibility of innovation, and that creativity is the input and innovation is the output, and that learning creativity through the arts introduces discipline and rigor and vision.
Thank you, Miss Chris, for calling. George in Springdale is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Thank you. I work at 4C, which is a child care resource and referral agency that actually works with providers over almost 20 counties of the state in one way or another. And we work with literally over 1,000, maybe almost 2,000 child care providers, but also preschools, after-school programs. And what probably has been most frustrating to me is the fact that I have people on staff who are art educators, but they rarely ever actually are working in art education. They're always doing other types of mandates. And I was sort of curious, and it seemed to me that the most important time to really introduce children to the arts and really get this process going is when they're very little, when they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old. And from my experience, a lot of the types of activities that we're talking about happen in those after-school programs. But for the past probably 5 or 6 years, the infrastructure for actually providing that type of support, training the teachers, training the people who are working in those programs, has been cut back repeatedly. In fact, right now what I'm doing is talking to you before I go into a local governmental meeting where probably every year at this time, we get the entire budget for our training department that's funded by the local government cut from their budget. And that's the only money we have that has any flexibility to do this type of work. So I'm curious if the focus is only on the schools or if you're really looking at the other part of the state government that really touches the lives of children, which is in the Department of Children and Family Services now, and, you know, in the child care unit in that type of area.
Well, I really appreciate your input, George, and the call, because I agree with you. It is essential in those early developing years of the brain, but it's essential lifelong for the children. And we are looking at the schools, but we're also looking at one of the ways that I see it through the vision or through the lens of the chair of the Arts Board. And we partner with the Arts Board with arts and cultural organizations and communities across the state, is where are there partnerships that can that we can establish and that we incentivize with our grant making, where those organizations go to a preschool and work outside of standard classrooms to help bring the experience of and cultivating that creative capacity and the arts experience with children and adults. I had not thought about it through the Department of Children and Families, but that's the value of this open forum, is to help us imagine, and I hope that you would think further with me about precisely how that would happen. As you look at the questions, and if you can go to the charge, to the task force, and help us see how it will lead us to that kind of development of policy that extends outside of the normal paths.
Yeah. Thank you very much, George. Yeah, that question was, what kind of partnerships initiated by the private and nonprofit sectors will help meet a community's need for expanded arts and creativity in education?
So, it's very provocative. Yeah. Thank you.
Nell in Madison. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I'm calling to talk about a program that has been in operation here since 2001 and an incident that kind of points up the importance of creativity. Back in 2005, I was contacted by three grad students from South Korea, and they asked to come here and see how we did things in the classroom. And so I've had an action research group going since 2001 in music and art. And,
I'm sorry, now you work in the Madison Public Schools?
Actually, I'm the state fine arts consultant.
Oh, okay.
And so the teachers, well, what had happened was that the grad students had contacted Harvard Project Zero and asked to talk with Howard Gardner about this. They had explained to me that the government of South Korea felt that creativity is the key to the future, and that they were sending out committees, grad students, who were competing for money to make these trips, to find out what other countries were doing in creativity. So Howard Gardner had suggested that they come to Wisconsin to see what we're doing here. And so they came, and I had some people from the Action Research Group present to them for a couple of days, and they went away very happy. This was surprising to me. Back in 2005, our government has not, at that point, really focused on creativity, and yet there are countries around the world not as developed as ours who were actually doing this and thinking it was very important.
Yeah. You can see why I come to this with a great sense of urgency.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Nell, for the call. We have many more callers and not a lot of time, so looking for your input on arts and creativity and education. Brett in White Lake. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, and thanks for taking my call. It's an honor to speak to you, Ms. Lawton.
Thank you, Brett.
What we have here in northern Wisconsin is not a lot of job opportunities with the economy the way it is. And you have to pardon my breathlessness. I'm a disabled vet. I just got out of surgery about a week ago. But anyway, I'm working with two individuals who will be putting together a program based on grants from respective counties, and we will be teaching children such as I described culinary arts, painted graphic type arts, and music. And we will be doing it in a very open environment, getting input from the kids to see what their perspectives are on these things. We have found, or my partners have found, that there are some kids out there who have never even sat down around a dinner table to have a meal to discuss the problems of the day or the events of the day with their families because of our culture and the way it has sort of separated from the family integration as a unit. And I would hope that your task force might take a look at our program to see how it could benefit kids in other communities.
Oh, I like that idea very much, Brett, and I hope that you will email a description to us. I would really appreciate a fuller description. I am concerned about the far reaches and up where you are in northern Wisconsin, that these don't have to be areas where we're losing young people and where the jobs are few, because with the technology that's available to us, if you can drive through a drive-thru in Milwaukee and somebody in India is processing your order for a McDonald's hamburger, why can't you live in White Lake and address some of the thorniest problems of the developing world with technology? But what we need are young children who are capable of doing that, whose creativity has been well developed, and communities that have a vital cultural heartbeat to support that.
Yeah, Brett, thank you so much. Let's see, we have time for one or two more. Margie in Franklin, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling to point out that as I'm hearing you talk, it's interesting to think about the type of children that seem to fall through the cracks right now because they're already thinking creatively, because they're thinking out of the box, and it turns out that they have ADD and that they don't necessarily think in the linear fashion that school is set up. And so they're treated like they have a learning disability,
yes,
when really they just learn in a different way.
Yes, what an important observation, and that if we can create a structure for in which they can flourish and their way of learning actually is productive because of their creative, out-of-the-box way of seeing the world. But that is our responsibility. Have you worked in this area, Margie?
Goes back to what you said about the ballroom dancing,
yeah,
that studies have shown that ADD children that are in ballroom dance classes, because it teaches them awareness of the body and the planes and things, that there's a dramatic increase or improvement in their ability and their concentration. And it goes across all kinds of learning channels.
Well, and it's also our commitment and our determination to harvest the talent of all of our children instead of penalizing some for being different when actually they have much to contribute. I think that art, we know, brings science out of the lab, and it gives us new language for our conversation. It helps us bridge disciplines in instructive ways. It's a value-added critical thinking that is accessible to all of our children.
We only have a minute left. I wish we had more time. Lots of interest in this topic, Lieutenant Governor. When will you be wrapping up your forums and having some sort of recommendations?
They've broken into subcommittees in the four different question areas that we are addressing. And as I said, Superintendent Burmaster is anxious to begin to get recommendations as she's writing her budget. I would guess before Christmas we will be able to have the full breadth of recommendations available to the public, but we are accepting their input and look forward to it.
And we will send you to the Arts Board website. That would be a good place for the email links and to send your ideas. arts.state.wi.us, and we will put that on our website as well. A little easier, WPR.org.
And they may call my office, too.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank
and
you.
Have a good speech at the Aspen Institute.
Well, it's a think tank that will be, as I said, we're bringing the Wisconsin wisdom to the world.
Thank you so much. Barbara Lawton, Lieutenant Governor of Wisconsin. Thanks to Karen Prager, Cindy Schuster, and Rob Ferret for producing the hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.